Well, I think before I begin, I'm going to share a little something with you regarding this message. This was something that was brought to my attention through some of my own personal studies and going back a few weeks. And during this week, as I'm asking the Lord, where do you want me to go with this? How do I need to present these scriptures? During that time, the Lord really was really testing me because of the subject of what I was going to be talking about. He was definitely showing some things that were going on during that week that was really making it hard for me to want to actually come up here today. I was very close last night to wanting to go call John and say, John, you got anything in your back pocket in case somebody decides to drop out the last second? it was really starting to get to that point. Just to be honest with you. But during the worship, sitting back in John's office, and I was finally able to just had to throw in the towel because I need to type up this. This is my message. I need to get this typed up. I need to get it like this. And God is like, no.
Praise God.
Nope. No, it's not going to happen. In fact, a lot of the stuff that I typed up, I went ahead and just erased it because it's just not going to fit. So it's just too much. It's just too much filler is basically what it is. So here we go. Hope you enjoy it. So yeah, I'm going to really trust God just to kind of really help me get this out, because it's really important. Because the topic is really important, and really where we're going to begin is with this question: how do we deal with passages that make us uncomfortable when we read them in the scriptures? Because there are definitely a lot of scriptures that have some really hard truths that we are confronted with. As much as it would be nice that all of them about God's love, joy, peace, there are some things in there that when you read them and come across them, you're not feeling joy, you're not feeling peace, you feel a little squirmy. So what do we do when we come across things that seem to say one thing, and when we come across things that sound like the exact opposite? Because you will find things that seem like they're going to contradict each other. What do you do with that? Okay. How do you respond? I mean, do we allow our ignorance to manifest into bitterness because we fail to put it into context? Do we just ignore it, and just pretend that it's not there and just move on to the next passage because we don't know how to deal with it? So, I mean, as Christians, it is important that we know the God that we serve. We need to understand the different facets of God's character, because he's not just one thing. We could spend weeks just talking about, focus on one of God's character aspects of each one, and we could just spend a long time focusing on that. He's merciful, he's gracious, he's slow to anger, he's abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. He is all those things, but he's also the God that sits on a throne that has righteousness and justice as its foundation, as Psalm 89:14 points out. So he's love. He's bounding steadfast love, but he has righteousness and justice as the foundation of his throne. Yeah. So that kind of brings into mind, where is your heart? Where is your heart in all this? Because our hearts are very fickle little things, if you think about it. They are so prone to sway one way or the other that they lead us down paths that we ought not to go. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. So during the worship, sitting back in John's office, the Lord had to show me something before I could actually come up here and preach this. Because, like I said, I had been struggling this week, and honestly, until I was able to deal with it and actually go, Lord, I'm sorry. He kept putting 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. So as I started reading it, when I came to this verse, I was like, ah, that's what you want to show me. So make sure I get, yep. For our appeal does not spring from error or impurity or any attempt to deceive, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts. During this week, as I'm trying to come up with this message, my heart was really put to the test. Just the things dealing with school. I can tell you Friday, and Liz can witness to this. Not a good day Friday. In fact, the entire evening that when I was at house, I just pretty much just remained very just bitter and just angry. It was just not a good day. It was just not a good day with the kids. I do not know what was going on Friday with the kids, why they were acting the way they did. Yep, I would agree with you, Tim. It was definitely some warfare. Why? Because if you ever pray for God, say, God, I need more patience. I need to show more love. Or God, help me understand what hard-heartedness is. God's like, all right, let me put you in some situations that will not only show you that, but it's also going to show you what you've got going on inside you. And then we will deal with it together. And that is exactly what he was doing with me that week, which was giving me a much better understanding of this topic. So I just want to kind of let you know where part of this is actually coming from. And going back to where I was talking about when we come across verses that if we don't understand them, you know, what do we do? How do we deal with them? I can tell you there have been times in my past where I've read some stuff in the scriptures, and because I didn't have a full knowledge of it, I was only reading like one part of it. There are times that it made me angry because it's like, really? This is what it says? I'm expected to act and be a certain way, but the scripture is saying this to me? The confusion would set in, and again, more anger than anything. But I'm going to move on. Okay, so since we're going to be talking about the issue of the heart and hard-heartedness, the scripture does plainly teach. If you read in Hebrews, it's in chapters 3 and 4. Both warn us about not to harden your heart, and both of those are quoting from Psalm 95, about the heart, about if you hear the voice today, if you hear the voice, do not harden your heart. So it's a clear warning not to harden your heart. And of course, hard hearts, what did they lead to? Rebellion, your own destruction. And the way that happens, I mean, bitterness, anger, hatred, and just plain apathy can be the seeds that allow your heart to start to become hardened. And one thing that the scripture does show, and it clearly says this, another thing that will harden the heart is God, which we're going to show you a few, we're going to go through a couple of passages about this. This is one of those passages, when you read it and come across it, if you don't understand the context, you're like, wait a second. God warns us not to harden our hearts, but here's the scripture clearly saying God is hardening the heart. So how do we deal with that? And if you want to see it, flip over to Romans 9, verses 15 through 24, and we'll get going. Yes, sir. Were you? It's fun, isn't it? It is. Cool. All right. I'm going to try to read this quickly. Starting in verse 15. For he says to Moses, I have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. So then, it depends not on human will or exertion, but on God who has mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. So then he has mercy on whomever he wills, and he hardens whomever he wills. You will say to me then, and I Love this part. Why does he still find fault in me? For who can resist his will? But who are you, O man, to answer back to God? Makes me giggle. Will what is molded say to the molder, why have you made me like this? Has the potter have no right over the clay to make out of the same lump one vessel for honorable use and another for dishonorable use? What if God, desiring to show his wrath and to make known his power, has endured with much patience, going back to the slow to anger and steadfast love, vessels of wrath prepared for destruction in order to make known the riches of his glory, for vessels of mercy for which he has prepared beforehand for glory, even us whom he has called, not from the Jews only, but also from the Gentiles. So, got an issue here. We got something saying, again, don't harden your hearts. And here we have God saying, I will harden who I want to harden, and I will have mercy on who I want to have mercy. So, what does this mean? So what does this mean for us? How do we deal with this? And I'll tell you one word, and again, that is context. Understand the context. When reading that, he's talking about the story of Pharaoh. So if you go to Exodus, and I'm not going. Everybody in here, I'm assuming, knows the story of Moses, so we don't need to read the whole thing. But when Moses finally approached Pharaoh, he says, "Let my people go." Pharaoh just flat out refuses and just says, "No, I'm not going to do it." And then Pharaoh, to make matters worse, makes the Israelites make the bricks without the straw. He says, "You got to go get your own straw, but I still want the same quota." So Pharaoh's heart was already hardened against Israelites. Now it says in there that God says he will harden Pharaoh's heart. And it's Exodus 4:21 and 7:30. He says he will harden him. But when you read those passages carefully, it's not until chapter 9, verse 12, when you first finally see God actually doing the hardening. Up until then, the person who was hardening Pharaoh's heart was Pharaoh. He was doing it himself. Now, when you say your heart's being hardened, basically, that doesn't mean where it says God is hardened to heart. It's not God's flipping on a switch, necessarily. Basically, if your heart is hard, that's almost a tongue twister, you are going in a direction that is causing that to happen. It's causing you to be, you're being firmed up in it. Your actions, the things you say, your emotions are all being directed towards that hardness. Pharaoh was on this path from when he's first introduced. He was already hard against the Israelites. He was already hard against Yahweh, because who did Pharaoh worship? Himself, because the Egyptians valued pharaohs as gods, and of course they had their own pantheon of gods that they worshipped. So Israel's God, he could care less about their decrees. And every time Moses tried to perform a sign in front of him, his magicians would copy it. So as far as Pharaoh was concerned, it's like, you can't do anything that my magicians can't, my sorcerers can't. Which brings me to this point. I kind of want to just kind of mention this, because it's something I noticed when I was going through that. His sorcerers were able to copy the staff turning to the snake. They were able to copy the water turning into blood. They were able to copy frogs coming up out of the Nile. It wasn't until God told Moses to strike the ground and make the dust turn into gnats and plague the Egyptians. It wasn't then until the magician said, "This is clearly the finger of God," and they couldn't copy it. And it was from that point on, they don't do anything else. They don't try to copy anything else. And when I read that, this dawned on me. It's like, huh? I think the reason why they couldn't copy that particular plague was the fact that the dust was turning into gnats. It was turning into life, and there's only one person who's the author of life, and it's not the source of the magician's power. That's not who was it. So when they saw they couldn't copy that one, they're like, ooh, wait a second. we're definitely not. Yeah, we are dealing with the God of Israel, and then they pretty much shut up the rest of the time. They come to Pharaoh during the plague of the boils, complain about the boils, but after that they don't. But again, they're done. Yeah. But yeah. So, but like I said, but it's not until chapter 9 when the Lord finally hardens Pharaoh's heart after the plague boils. And Pharaoh, Pharaoh will harden his heart a little bit, but then God will just continue harden him. He says, I'm going to harden him, and it says the Lord hardened his heart. Now, why would God do this? Why would a loving God who gives us free will harden somebody's heart? Well, Pharaoh had already basically made up his mind. God had shown him his power. His magicians even confirmed it. His sorcerers confirmed it. But he still continued to harden himself. In fact, one of the things that hardened Pharaoh's heart was, if I remember correctly, maybe after the plague of frogs. There was a respite after one of the plagues. Let me just double check that. So in other words, after the plague had stopped and there was a bit of a break, it said that Pharaoh hardened his heart during that time. So not only do we see, so this is kind of a bit of an example, not only do we see God physically hardening him, but God's mercy when he was given the rest from the plagues. Because if you think about it, how many people do you know who they're just completely acting crazy. They're leading themselves to their own destruction. But because they're not immediately being punished for what they're doing, they just continue on that path like what they're doing is no big deal. That's a type of hardening. It's like, well, if it's as bad as everybody says it is, nothing's happening to me, so clearly I can do what I want. And that's even warned about in Book of Romans in chapter 2. And we'll bring that passage up real quick. Here we go. Starting in verse 3, do you suppose, O man, you who judge those who practice such things and yet do them yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and the forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? But because of your hard and impudent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself. On the day of wrath, when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. So the fact that God is so patient with us, even those who are not saved, he's very patient with them, but as it says, they're storing up wrath for themselves. And as a result, because if they don't get the picture, their heart just continues moving on to a state of hardness. So this kind of raises a bit of an interesting question. God hardens Pharaoh's heart all the way up to the last plague, the killing of the firstborn. In fact, Pharaoh's even warned. He's like, if you keep this up, if you do not let my people go, the firstborn are going to die. Yeah. But it says God hardened his heart. And then we move on to the plague of the firstborn dying. So the question is, if God had not hardened Pharaoh's heart, would Pharaoh have let the Israelites go, and would the firstborn been spared? No. See, God doesn't just arbitrarily harden somebody because he just feels like it. There's a reason behind it. Pharaoh was wicked. The way he treated God's people, they deserved it. I mean, I'm sorry, not days. I'm sorry. He deserved it. Because again, righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. So when he hardened Pharaoh's heart, even if he hadn't have done it, Pharaoh was still not going to let him go because previous times Pharaoh said, "I'm sorry." Oh, wait a minute. No, I'm not. You stay. They're not going anywhere. But that is a hard question. It's like, if God hadn't done any hardening, would Pharaoh have let him go at any point? No. he was already on the path. And it wasn't until finally, after when that last plague happened, he finally did let him go. But then you see later on, what did God do? Pharaoh and his people didn't like the fact that the Israelites were gone. God hardened Pharaoh's heart one last time. And what happened that last time? Exactly. Why? So that God's glory could be shown to his people. My justice, my glory are going to be shown to you through Pharaoh. So the injustice that was done to them, Pharaoh paid for it. So what does this say? So what does this say about us? What does this say about Christians? Does God harden Christians? I would have to say no. I would say that as far as God's people, we have the Holy Spirit in us. The Holy Spirit is working in our heart daily. Now, can God reveal things in our heart that we need to put away from us? Absolutely. He did that with me this week. Okay? But if you don't know Christ, what about the ones who don't know Christ? Can God harden them? I would have to say yes. If somebody is really determined to destroy themselves and the people around them, despite being warned, despite having given all the knowledge they need, I would say yes. If somebody's not a Christian, I would say God could do that. And again, in two ways. His mercy, the fact that he hasn't struck them down, or the fact that he hasn't caused them to deal with something really horrific to show them the error of their ways. Because of the fact that he's very merciful and patient to us, and also to unbelievers. The fact that he hasn't done that. But if you go back into Romans, I'm going to talk the first chapter. I'm going to get through this in a second. One of the things that I was thinking about, if you look at the stuff that we're seeing in our culture right now, within the United States, things you see on the news, issues with politics, all these things dealing with abortion, same-sex relationships, the issues with identity, how it just seems to be everywhere almost, seems to be accelerating. You ever wonder, it's like, wow, how is this? It's like, if you go back just, what, a couple decades, maybe you heard like a tiny thing here and there, but now it just seems it's everywhere. And the fact that some of the laws that have been passed, the boldness that these people have, the audacity that they have to present such a law to our state legislators, I don't even think that law would even been considered if you go back a little ways. But we're seeing like an acceleration of this, of just this evil and this wickedness and these foolish ways of thinking. And I was sharing this with Liz, and her and I both agree. I think what we are seeing with a lot of people, we are seeing a hardening. These people, people who are involved in things, the foolish thinking, with again, that there is, despite being told the truth that there is a God, that they say there is no God. They try to present their case as if it's true. The deception that they spread, saying that your identity as a man or a woman does not matter. The way you were born, it can change. Any day you want it to, really, and that's okay. These foolish ways of thinking, and the people who are perpetuating this, their hearts are firming up in this, and they are just still going into this direction. Now, does that mean that there's no hope for them? No. Could they still turn? Of course they can. Their hearts can be softened. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Yeah, our hearts, yes. And just because God hardens, if God hardens somebody's heart, it doesn't mean it's permanent. It doesn't mean the switch is on and they're just going to keep going in that direction. Because if you go back into Exodus where Pharaoh's heart was hard, God did it multiple times. It wasn't just a one and done deal. He just did it. He did it a few times, actually. So I don't believe it's not permanent. It can be reversed if you want it to be reversed. So awfully quiet in here. Is that a good thing? It is. This is a. Let's see. Find it real quick. So. Give me 1 second. See, what the world needs to understand is that their hope is in the things that they want. Their hope's in what God wants for them. God wants us to be his family. He wants people as his family. Their hope's in Christ. And unfortunately, until they can see that, the way that they're thinking is not going to stop. We ourselves can be arrogant that the fact that we have Christ in us and they don't. It's like, well, you know, that's how you're going to think. So be it. At least I got Christ. But if there's one thing that that I've learned since I've been teaching, when you see not only just the behavior in the kids, but when you find out the issues that are going on at home, the way their parents are dealing with them, I found it's very easy to be very angry with people like that, to the point where I get kind of puffed up, going, well, at least I'm not like you. Which used to happen a lot. I got bitter, not only towards the parents, but I got bitter towards the kids as well. It came out, I never point blank, you know, said anything bad to them. But just some days with my attitude, my heart really, at one point, really became hard towards just the way I saw people act, the way that they acted, and then find out, oh, well, their parents, the reason why they act is because their parents aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. God had to deal with me on this. He said, you know, these are people. They're people just like you. If you want to know how you feel, just show them. Show them that you care. It took a while, but God had to really soften my heart towards my attitude with the kids that I dealt with, also with some of the faculty too. But like I said, it is encouraging to know that the God that we do serve, the fact that he does have all those character attributes of being patient and merciful, that at any time that we do want to change, that all we need to do, we can come to him at any point. And again, if there's people that you're dealing with that you know who have a hard heart go to them, talk to them, pray for them, that their heart would be softened. I think that about wraps it up for me.